You're listening to The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and don't necessarily represent the opinions of Quenny Broadcasting.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. It's our second hour of The Lauren Brooker Show. And very, very happy to have you with us. Tomorrow on the program, Ian Clark from CIBC Wood Gundy will be joining us. We're going to talk about how the international, the global Trump tariffs have affected this country and the markets and so on and so forth. Also, The Quiet Room, that's Andy Forgy. He and his partner, Chris Chisbin, we'll get that straight before tomorrow. We'll be in to talk about a fundraiser for the Belleville Theater Guild at the Pinnacle Playhouse. And they'll play some tunes and we'll have some fun. It is a feel-good Friday after all tomorrow. Ted Bradford, we should mention, too, that Quiddy Conservation has been dealing with the cleanup process of after the ice storm, and you'll be speaking with Brad McNevin a little bit later.
Yeah, 11:40 on Quiddy Calendar, just to get a handle on where things are. And I'm not sure if anybody maybe noticed the story on Quiddy News on Monday, but all the conservation areas have been closed because of, you know, extensive ice storm damage on a lot of the trails. So the staff is busy trying to get those beloved conservation areas back in ship shape,
ready for the general public.
Ready for the public, and we'll also get a handle on what's in store this summer and fall.
Cool, very cool. That's a little later on the program, but Ted, right now we're very excited.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on the Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
That's right.
Close enough. Somehow the one with the music got lost.
But we'll find it. We'll get it back. It is Meet the Candidate. Our job here is to make sure that all the main candidates are presented to you, and we're giving them each an hour here on this program. And today, our candidate is the Liberal from Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and now the bonus area of Tyandinega. We say hello to Tracy Sweeney-Shank. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you today. There is certainly a lot of things to talk about. This is what most people are saying is one of the most important elections in our lifetime. And here we are, and you're running for the Liberals.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the type of thing that's said all the time, but this time it's really true.
Right. And it seems that there's breaking news that is adjusting the way people are thinking every day. But before we get into the news, and of course, the idea of this program is for people out there, if you have a question for Tracy, by all means, give us a call, 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. I don't want to ask the questions today. I'm tired. I just would rather sit back. This is a great opportunity for you out there to talk to the Liberal candidate in one of the two major ridings from our area. So, Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right. Well, I'm actually an ex-Quebecer. I was born in Montreal. We were part of the massive exodus in the late 70s that brought a lot of Anglos out of the province. So I've been seriously affected by a divisive politic before.
Right.
I think that's why this one resonates so deeply with me, because the politicking that has been going on in the last few years has been deliberately divisive, and that doesn't help anybody, truly. So that's the background where I came from. I am, by training, an investment banker.
It's federal election time.
Oh, sorry. We're so sorry about that. Okay.
We knew that.
Yeah.
I was trained as a stockbroker in the 80s and then worked in the marketing department with a banking firm. Bought a small business in 1992 so that I could work from home mm-hmm. and raise our kids. And then wrapped that up in 2004, went back to finance, but as a certified financial planner.
So certainly what's going on south of the border is something that you understand. I'm sure you understand the business of tariffs and how it's affecting the global economy. And of course, this is no matter what anybody says, that is the primary question in this election, right?
Absolutely. That and sovereignty. Like, so yes, the global tariffs, yes, the way it's going to destroy the economy. I think that the pundits last night were saying that it's going to lead us into a global recession. And you have to wonder what Trump's goal is, like what he thinks his legacy project is. If it's to absolutely have a global impact, then he's nailed it. It's just not a positive one for anybody, including the Americans.
It's interesting. They call the president of the United States the most powerful person, and clearly that's the truth. If they can affect
100% positive or negative,
if they can affect the global economy, we've been freaking out, you know, now for 70 plus days during that presidency, and during that time we've lost a prime minister,
yes,
gained a new prime minister, and 9 days later into this election. So back to you. So how many kids do you have? And what we're doing, of course, is getting people to know you, right?
Four sons.
Mm-hmm. And
even all... my dogs are male.
Really?
I'm heavily outnumbered. I've faced these challenges before.
And according to your bio, your husband, he was a police officer.
Correct. Yeah. He was a Toronto police officer for 40 years. Started when he was 19, when they still had a cadet program, and retired probably days after he turned 60.
Wow. Yeah. That's an incredible run in a very difficult job. So thank you to your husband for his service.
Yeah.
And so you're running in Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga.
Right.
Do you live there?
No.
So where do you live?
I live in Port Hope. So it is, we share a border north of the Bay of Quinte, right up to, I think not that far. We do share a border. I've done a lot of work in this riding without knowing that I've been in a different riding, no passport control on those borders. So the demographic of the two ridings is similar. You know, we are a mixed urban-rural, where the urban portion of it is small towns, small villages, and the rural is very agricultural. We have some manufacturing, but not as much as we used to have. So we've experienced job losses in Northumberland Clark, the way that Hastings, Lennox, and Addington, Tyendinaga have experienced this. So it's not a huge leap. I was a greenlit nominee candidate in Northumberland Clark. John Goheen is the successful candidate there. And about a month after that was decided, I was approached by the director of electoral readiness to see if I would consider running in a different riding.
So, okay, so let's unpack that. So a few months ago, you were running for the Greens in, or...
No, greenlit is the sort of validation prospect. Yeah, so no, definitely
okay,
not
no,
running
so
for
that,
the Greens.
Okay, no, so that sounded confusing. That's what I took out of there. So
green light is when they go through everything. Like they look
So you were in the nomination process for the riding that you live in?
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And you weren't successful in getting that nomination?
Correct.
Okay, so then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go on with my life.
Yeah.
And
as one does.
And then you get a call, and I guess, you know, so they asked you if you wanted to run in this riding.
Correct. So it's not, they didn't ask me if I wanted to run in this riding. Actually, this riding hunted me down, which was awesome, because you've got the best, we have the best EDA. They are so focused. They are great at fundraising. They are passionate about what they do. They knew from the director of electoral readiness that I was out there. And so they approached me. It was great.
Do you think, and of course, listen, I know how politics works. I've been doing this. Jagmeet Singh, the first time I've met Jagmeet, he was in the Ontario legislature.
Right.
And his riding is in British Columbia.
Correct.
Right? So the law is you don't have to live in your riding,
that is,
right?
Well, I'm going to say yes, but he's at a much different level than myself because he's the leader of the party, right? But when I asked the man who had phoned me how this would happen, they said in a time of electoral urgency, it's permissible. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it came. Now,
have you asked this question? I mean, why me? Why not somebody who lives in the riding? And nothing against you. I'm just asking.
Like, 100%. It's just... So yes, I asked the question because things hadn't really changed at that point. I can't really remember what day I had this phone call, but it was early January. And so when it was pitched to me, I did say to him, he said, you know, you're a strong candidate, you're this, you're that. And I said, okay, am I a strong, have you actually looked at my files? Have you read all the notes about me? Have you gone through everything? Have you read any feedback, or are you just buttering me up? And he said, no, I've looked at it all.
Why are you a strong candidate?
Why am I a strong candidate? I think what you spoke to earlier, you know, this is in my wheelhouse. Like, what I have spent my entire adult life doing is helping people make their lives better, function better. You know, we're not fabulously anything, but we've never been hungry, we've never been cold, and it's nice to know that you can give back and help other people make their lives more comfortable. If I can take the training I've got and the education I've had and my natural instincts to work with people, to fix problems they've had, improve lives in the future, it's game on.
There are lots of people who have never done anything political before, but there's lots of candidates on the other hand who have been a municipal politician or have sat on a board or whatever the case might be. What's your background? What have you done anything where you've been elected or sat on boards or been part of a process like this?
No, I don't think I've sat on volunteer boards, you know, Big Sisters, Capitol Theater, things like that.
Those are all important, though.
They are important. They are important. Yeah, of course they are. With respect to exposure to the political life, again, you know, I first became a sort of sentient adult during the public divide of the separatist movement in Quebec. And we had a very nice, comfortable Anglo life. Not that it's divisive, you know, like we spent a lot of our time in the Eastern Townships and had just great interaction with everybody. Mm-hmm. But the separatist movement made everybody leave. And I was maybe 10 when the FLQ crisis happened. And it doesn't resonate very deeply with a 10-year-old until you have armed police on the corner of every street and you have to trick or treat at 3:30 because 5 o'clock is dark and things might happen. So you remember those things.
Right.
Fast forward a few years to when the FLQ, to when the Separatist Party came into power, and the writing was on the wall for any major corporation. People forget that Montreal used to be the financial center of Canada until then, and then everybody left. All those beautiful buildings downtown Montreal are the old bank head offices, the old insurance company head offices, the oil company head offices, and then we all packed up and moved to Toronto. So imagine what that does to somebody's financial life. You suddenly have a housing market that is flooded with people who have to move or find a new career. Mm-hmm. So everybody headed west, and we picked up our lives and started all over again. But in 1978, I won a contest that put me on the same sort of table as a lot of political leaders of all scopes, municipally, provincially, and federally. And it really opened my eyes to how ordinary people can do extraordinary things if you're brave enough.
Right. So and that's why it's called the House of Commons.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so.
That's why it's made up of supposed to be made up of people from across the country of various ilks and everything else who ends up showing up there, right?
And I think it is. You know, you say supposed to be, but I do believe that it is. Yeah.
Okay, so why the Liberals? So it's not like you've been, you know, a prominent Liberal, and maybe you have been, but we don't know you. So why are you a Liberal as opposed to anybody else? I mean, you're a banker. You know, when you think of a banker,
financial planner.
Right.
Oh, and I guess I know where you're going. When you think of a banker, you think of, you know, blue suit, conservative bowler hat.
Although the Prime Minister of Canada right now is a banker. So
he's an economist who headed the two banks of two G7 countries.
Right. Which makes him a banker.
Yeah. He was a banker for 14 years. 100%.
Right.
He was a banker for 14 years. Yeah. He is maybe almost my age. So there were a lot of adult years where he was not a banker. You know, he's a lot more than that.
No, yeah, of course he is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he may be the most conservative liberal we've had in quite a while. What makes you a liberal?
What makes me a liberal?
Why the Liberal Party?
Their values align with my own. You know, again, I said, you know, if we're not fabulously anything, but never been hungry, never been cold, and it is easy enough to want to take that, you know, win the life lottery and help share it around at very little cost to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So their values align with my own.
Give us a few of those values.
The greater good, you know, benefits of the greater good. So I do believe in a certain measure of social assistance programs. I do believe one of the things that, for example, Trudeau has been maybe held to task for is that I heard somebody's just extreme rhetoric saying our country flatlined for the last 10 years. And I think to myself, but we didn't nosedive. And that is what the Canada Employment Relief Benefit did. That's what all of these projects did that essentially took the principles of a basic minimum living wage and gave it to people. And the effect of that people don't realize, we all see the deficit, mm-hmm. we all see that. But what they don't realize is the personal costs that were mitigated by these programs. So again, you know, being a bit of a geek and going through statistics as I prepared my speech for my own nomination run, I looked at the measures that those acts mitigated. And our housing foreclosures were down to single digit levels for the first time in the 20 years that I looked over. Our personal bankruptcies were down to single digits in the 20 years prior that I had looked over. And if you think about what happened in the 2007-2008 housing crisis, financial crisis in both the United States and even in the United Kingdom, where they did not have preventative measures to stop these things from happening. Our banking laws are fabulous, so mm-hmm. support them 100%. It took forever for them to recover from those things. Like they had individuals losing their houses, living in cars. We didn't have that except in the extreme.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. And of course, in the past 20 years, half of that was the Harper government. Half of that was the Trudeau government. Did Justin Trudeau, because we're seeing this huge spike, the Liberals ahead by 9 points, according to a Nanos poll this morning. You know, the question of this election, we spoke to Scott Reed this morning, is going to be who's best to look after the giant orange surge from the south. So did Trudeau stay too long? Because it doesn't seem that Canadians right now are upset with the Liberals. It seemed that they were upset with former Prime Minister Trudeau.
Yeah, did he stay too long? I don't think so. I don't think so. I know that's not a common perspective, mm-hmm. even amongst some of the backbenchers in our own party. But it's over now, so we'll never know, right? You can't go back and reinvent the timeline
right.
to see what would have happened had he stepped down then. Or what would have happened had he stayed on. We will never know these things. We can only speculate.
Okay, our guest is Tracy Sweeney Shank. She is the Liberal candidate for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyandinega. We're going to take a quick break. Our phone lines are open for you. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. We'd love to have you call in with some questions for Tracy. And, of course, at the end of the hour, she'll have 90 seconds to tell us why we, or I, because I'm in your riding, by the way, should vote for her. So give us a call again, 613-969-1545. It's the Lauren Brooker Show. Plus, we are airing these interviews on your TV, and you can always catch us on cjbq.com.
Make your house shine from top to bottom without lifting a finger. Call Quinty Power Wash. They expertly wash homes and commercial properties with high-pressure cleaning for surfaces like concrete and stone and low-pressure cleaning for things like vinyl, stucco, and wood. Quinty Power Wash even washes your trailer, boat dock, pool deck, fences, outdoor furniture, and more. Ask about their complete house washing package. For a free quote, visit QuintyPowerWash.com or call 613-919-4410.
What's happening, Quinty, on CJBQ?
Enjoy a classic movie in the historic surroundings of Queensboro Community Center. This month's film is 1980s Used Cars, a dark comedy starring Kurt Russell and directed by Robert Zemeckis. Queensboro Movie Night, Saturday, April 12th from 6:30 to 8:30.
And that's what's happening, Quinty. Brought to you by the Davis Group, realtors at Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty.
Thinking about downsizing? Feeling overwhelmed? Let the Davis Group take your worries away. We have the experience to give you a smooth move. Ready to sell your home? Call the Davis Group. We are good people selling great homes. 613-848-1918.
I'm being completely honest now, okay? Homelessness makes me uncomfortable. But then I think, at least it's not sleeping on the sidewalk with everything I own uncomfortable.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
All roofs are not created equal. Hi, I'm Terry from Advanced Roofing. We build your roof to last for decades, not 10 to 12 years. That's why Advanced Roofing strives to provide our clients with the newest and most innovative products, along with superior installation practices currently available in today's market. Whether it's steel or shingle, call us for a free quote at 243-1083. Advanced Roofing, Quinty's most trusted name in roofing. That's 243-1083.
Catch Ted Bradford weekdays at 11. It may sound something like this.
Gail, what are you up to today? Gail.
Hello.
Gail.
Yes?
Gail.
Hello.
Gail.
Uh-huh.
You okay?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Is this Ted?
Ted Bradford on 800-CJBQ.
You've tuned into Talk, the stories that matter to you. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
10:28 is the time. It is the Meet the Candidates with Hastings Lennox Addington and Tyendinaga Liberal candidate Tracy Sweeney Shank. And clearly they don't think of us broadcasters when they come up with the names of these ridings. Adding another name to it is, it's a lot for us. And so we'll be, quite frankly, suing Elections Canada.
Or the sign printers.
That's
They're
right.
having fun, too.
They must be. They must be. Tracy is running in what is truly a massive riding, mostly rural. And when I talk about this riding, because I live in it, it's north of Belleville, so it's a chunk of Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the way north up to Bancroft and all the way down and down to Napanee. And somebody up in North Hastings. And somebody in Napanee, Tracy, may have some of the same issues, but because of geography, because of lifestyle, because of everything, it could be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you, as a MP, going to understand and deal with the different issues of the different, I mean, in Yarker, they don't care what's going on in Bancroft.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, what's going on in both areas, irrespective of urban-rural, is the threat to our sovereignty
mm-hmm.
and the threat to our financial security. So I am fortunate enough to be taking on this task at a time where the stakes are so high that they have to be the focus. You know, to imagine anybody other than Prime Minister Carney leading us into essentially an economic battle that will retain our sovereignty that is under threat because, what did you call him, the orange what?
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of
yeah.
things. It varies day by day.
That guy.
There's a file.
That guy. That will protect us against him because, let's face it, he's not consistent in his approach. So to be able to think strategically, to be a critical thinker, to know how to move and tack with somebody who is as mercurial as he is, that is just vital. And to actually have a plan. So, you know, Mark Carney has led Decisions that he put into place, let's face it, which in Flaherty as the finance minister during the time of the global economic meltdown, he has worked collaboratively with the Conservatives. They have been fundamental in adjusting to major economic forces in other powerful nations and not getting caught in their vortex, not getting caught in their whirlpool. That is a collaborative effort between then, you know, the governor of the Bank of Canada, Mark Carney, and then forces that be.
But when you knock on the door of each place, when you walk around, you go to a door in Bancroft, you go to a door in Napanee, you go to a door in Belleville, and they say, nice to meet you. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
That's the question you're going to get.
Yeah.
How is this guy going to make me better? How are you going to make my life better?
Yeah. The focus at this point does have to be economics, which is going to affect everybody, you know, financial security, which will affect everybody, but to speak to every individual and find out what's after that. Once we are on a path, and they're not mutually exclusive, you know, you can do two things at one time, but to focus on the big picture issues, such as sovereignty and our economics, to work with Prime Minister Carney on that, fabulous, then to deal with the individuals, because irrespective of who that voter chose to vote for, they are the constituents that every member of parliament needs to respond to.
Okay, let's get to some phone calls here. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Francis, good morning. You're on CJBQ.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
I happen to be in your area, and I'm wishing you well.
Thank you.
But I know Polyev is saying he's going to do away with woke policies. I wondered if you could explain to me what woke policies are. I know, just as a second point, you are running in a highly conservative area. And I just wonder if people understand that to vote for who they may like in our area as conservative, that they're actually voting for Pierre Polyev, who won't even get a security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you put somebody in as prime minister who has consistently said no to a security clearance and has given so many implausible reasons?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Francis. So with respect to the two questions that you have, let's deal with the first one first. Woke is an expression from the 70s, which had to do with, you know, fair treatment of visible minorities, and that is what it was referencing. So it's been adapted into sort of the common language about including people who don't either look like us or think like us or talk like us, us being anybody's personal definition of their own world. So doing away with woke cultures, who exactly is he hoping to exclude from that? It's such an overused expression that it's actually become tiresome. So I would want him to explain who it is that he wants to remove privileges from or rights from.
Well, I think we've seen in the first 70 days, have we not? Whether it's transgender athletes, which I think a lot of people are, you know, kind of agree with that kind of situation. But it's a whole bunch of things. He seems to be attacking the LGBTQ community. He seems to be attacking minorities. It's immigrants, of course, is right where he is in. He's getting rid of the Department of Education. The list is massive, of course. But do you think Pierre Polyev is that? I don't, you know, as much as there are members of the Conservative Party who will, you know, maybe agree with those things, do you actually think that the leader is that?
First of all, I just want to speak to something you just said, because a lot of the things that you were just describing were actually things that Trump has done. But I believe Francis's question was about Poilievre saying he was going to get rid of woke policies. I don't actually know that she mentioned Trump doing that. But I was also playing with my
assumption is, and what the liberals are trying to do is trying to create a sense of Trumpness around Poilievre. And I think what Canadians are wanting is to know what Poilievre is going to do. Because this is a two-horse race.
Yeah.
And what Prime Minister Carney is going to do to deal with not only issues at home, but the serious issues south of the border. Mm-hmm. Those are the two questions at hand.
Are you asking, do I think that Poilievre is trying to be Trump light?
No, I'm asking, well, first of all, you can answer the question from Francis.
Well, with respect to the woke privileges or rights or whatever, I think I just did. You know, I would want him to describe who exactly it is he thinks is not equal enough to deserve to be treated like everybody else. Mm. So that's what I would want to do with. And then you're going to have to remind me what the second one was, because I've talked my way past remembering it.
Well, I think, I mean, she was commenting on this country and Poilievre, and we can move on if you like.
Yeah, it'll come to me. It'll come to me.
Okay. Yep. But do you think that Poilievre is Trump-like?
Do I think he is? Yeah, I think he has been trying to position himself and ride on the coattails of what Trump's populist popularity was. I do think that it seems to have informed a lot of his choices about how he presents himself in public. I see now that he's trying to dial it back, because to be Trump adjacent is unattractive for most Canadians. I'm still shocked at the number of Canadians that I meet, and it's not many, but I met one the other day who thinks he's absolutely brilliant, wishes that we had one. And I thought, boy, oh boy, that's somebody who's not looking closely enough. And oddly, it was somebody who works, albeit at an administrative level.
Yesterday in Kingston, Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre had over 4,000 people come to a Liberal riding and do incredibly well. Is that concerning for you? Because, again, Napanee just hugs right into that riding, right? So is that concerning for you when you're running in as our caller said, a mostly Conservative riding? How do you break that Conservative of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinega?
So I'm not here to break anything, but I think I understand what you mean. Like, how do I push through that?
How do you make people go, I've voted Conservative my whole life, or I'm a Conservative, but now's the time I have to vote Liberal?
Yeah. I think you just keep helping inform people and invite people to stop hiding behind Google as a source of all information. I mean, you're in journalism. You yourself know how irrefutably biased the algorithms are. When you start going down a Google rabbit hole, you are only going to get information that reinforces what you've already spent a lot of time looking at. So, do your own research. Look at actually, peer-reviewed papers, look at reliable sources of information, look at both sides, read the National Post, read the Globe and Mail, read the Toronto Star, read the Kingston, read all of these different things, because there's a higher standard of media that applies to these things. Google has no parameters, so you will read reinforcing, it's biased confirmation.
Well, our favorite news site is Quinty News, and that's what everybody should be reading. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about issues that affect people in your riding. And, they call them pocketbook issues, right? That has obviously a lot to do with what may be coming south of the border. But again, everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs a roof over their head. These are issues that people will talk to you about at the door every day. So we'll take a break and get to that. Also, your phone calls. 613-969-1545 is the number to call. Our guest is Hastings Liberal, Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinega Liberal candidate, Tracy Sweeney Schenck.
I'm going upgrade your kitchen and get paid for it. Visit Frigidaire Frenzy at Arnie's Appliances. Get a $100 rebate on every qualifying Frigidaire appliance you buy. Plus, every purchase enters you into a contest. Frigidaire Frenzy until April 16th at Arnie's Appliances, Tyendinaga. Everything but the taxes.
Dreaming of building a new deck? Choose a local company that supports local lumber. Choose Sterling Carpentry.
I can go today and handpick white cedar that was milled a week ago, cut down from a lot that I know where the lot is, and bring it to your house. And it's not from some faraway place. And the beauty of all that is we're also helping that guy who has that lumber mill, who's right in our community.
Visit sterlingcarpentry.ca. Premium craftsmanship built to last.
What are you hunting for?
Shh! I'm hunting for deals!
Ah, you won't find deals out here. You need to be online at briansauction.com.
Brian's brings the deals online right to your phone. Deal hunt for new inventory as well as a variety of vehicles and heavy equipment. Online deal hunting has never been easier. Grab your deal today at Brian's Auctions. That's BRYANSauction.com. The home of great deals.
Enhance your home with windows and doors proudly made in Canada. I'm Jason from ViewTech Window and Door. We're proud to offer a selection of high-quality windows and doors designed and manufactured right here in Canada. So whether you're upgrading your home or building new, ViewTech makes it easy. Choose Canadian craftsmanship and support Canadian jobs. Visit ViewTech Window and Door, corner of Church and Station, Belleville. Enjoy your local view.
800-CJBQ and BST Vacations want to send you and a guest to Italy and France this September 28th. Listen anytime for your chance to board Celebrities Equinox for a nine-night Mediterranean cruise from Rome. You'll visit Naples, Portofino, Cannes, Marseille, and more. Plus, a full day in Rome to see the sights. Some gladiators in the Colosseum, maybe? The only thing missing is you. Log on to CJBQ.com for complete contest details. Cruise Italy and the south of France this fall from BST Vacations and 800-CJBQ.
Kevin Williams delivers the most detailed weather on 800-CJBQ Belleville.
It's federal election time and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Welcome back. Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga Liberal candidate Tracy Sweeney Shank in studio with us. She is, of course, an incredibly smart individual working in the financial sector for her whole life. Comes from a great family and a family that has given, obviously, their time and their effort to our country. And I got to tell you that, you know, we're talking about international issues in this election, but you know, we also need to talk about pocketbook issues, issues that affect all of us, right? And yes, tariffs will affect all of us and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do as a member of provincial parliament? You don't want to sit there. You're going to sit there in that room, that beautiful room, and you're going to fight for this riding of Hastings. Well, it's just called Halat. And so people want to know when they come to the door, I want to know what you're going to, I could vote for you. I have no idea who I'm voting for yet, right? Talk to me. Tell me why I should vote for you. How are you going to make my life living in Belleville better on a federal level?
Yeah. Some of the concerns that I hear about, of course, here, one of the things that was first brought up to me was the Goodyear plant and how they're seeming to be constantly on the edge of a knife, wondering which way things are going to go, whether jobs will be protected. Also have spoken at length with people about the closing of an abattoir. Was it due to a calamity that happened there, wasn't it? So, you know, could those jobs come back with rebuilding? And this is where the economic, the economic handling of the tariffs gives us a fabulous opportunity. I think that there will be very few people who are unafraid or unwilling to see the government dig deep to help build factory manufacturing production here.
So one of the things that Prime Minister Carney has, has suggested would be $2 billion to help the automotive industry. Does that go to Napanee, some of that money? And would you obviously have to fight for that?
Yeah, definitely fight for it. I mean, a small amount of it should be directed at Napanee purely by virtue of a Goodyear plant being
That's
here.
What I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I don't think it's going to be a hard thing to convince the federal government to invest in infrastructure here, corporate infrastructure that is going to create jobs so that we can be more independent and suffer less from these tariffs, because now we're building from within as opposed to this bilateral exchange that Trump himself crafted and is putting the boot to right now.
So as of today, there's a 25% tariff on automobiles, although we don't exactly know how much of an automobile is made. We know the Stellantis factory is shutting down for 2 weeks in Windsor, which is, you know, problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the tariffs exist on steel and aluminum and softwood lumber. But Canada didn't get another, you know, punch in the head yesterday in the announcement.
The announcement yesterday seems to have been that any country not in compliance with CUSMA is being hit by tariffs. Mm-hmm. But if you're compliant with CUSMA, then it's fine. Well, that's us. That's us in Mexico and the United States. So what does that mean at the end of the day? Pretty strategic of him to make the announcement after the stock markets close, because everything has tanked. The United States has different rules than we do. They do not have to put any assets into blind trusts. They just can benefit off of the news they're about to deliver, doing whatever they want. No doubt they all short sold their stocks a couple of weeks before he started this, whatever this is, who knows what this is, and bought back in a couple of days to cover their shorts.
Right. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that.
It's America, right?
Yeah.
And what's going on there is absolutely horrific.
Mm-hmm.
This just coming out right now. We always like to break a little bit of news, but Premier Ford is happy that Canada, obviously not on the list, but he expects that auto tariffs may be around 12.5% here in Canada.
Oh, I know.
So half. So, I don't know.
It's still 12.5% more than is legal.
It's still,
everybody is so excited that they didn't double when Ford threatened to remove electricity or tariff it heavily, and that it just went back to the 25% threat, which is unlawful. Anyway, if somebody starts hitting you, you don't get excited because they're not going to hit you more. You just really want them to stop hitting you and go back to a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So 12.5%, okay, better than 25, still unlawful, still illegal.
One of the things that President Trump has been mentioning, of course, were 240% tariffs on dairy, which is something we've never hit. Obviously, the Americans have never hit it, so they've never been charged. But you are campaigning in a rural area with tons of dairy farms. So what do you say to dairy farmers who might be concerned?
It starts off at, I think, the first 2.5% is tariff-free, something like that. I was really just listening to the radio journalist talking about it. So I have not done my own research on this, but I know enough to not believe anything that Trump says without doing actual real research. He says that they want access to our dairy market, so not our product, but our market. They want to be able to sell their product up here. There's a real reason that we don't want it. It's the same reason we never wanted American pork products in our country. They don't have the same high standards of production that we have.
We also have our quota system here.
100%,
So we do protect our dairy industry and other industries like that. When you look at the riding of Hlatt,
chicken,
what do you think? I can say it.
Yeah. But show's over.
But it's fun. Yeah, it's fun to say Hlatt. What is the big issue? What do you think, you know, if you are, and if you are elected on the 28th, what do you think is the first thing? The phone's going to ring after you get set up and people are going to be, you know, listen, Tracy, this is the thing. And then the next call, this is the thing. And the next call, this is the thing. So what is the thing that you're riding, that you're running in, is facing, that is prominent?
Well, okay. So to use your language from our little break there, we have been speaking macro, but on that level, somewhere between the macro and the personal, somewhere between those two levels is the answer. And that is the first issue is to bring economic security to the riding, which means bringing jobs to the riding, which means investing in the type of things we talked about earlier, like more factories, more production-oriented things, more job-related things, higher levels of universities in a place. That brings a huge economic growth to a place, because to have job security means that you will have a better shot at housing security. So then developing houses, like Prime Minister Carney has announced money for new housings, and we're talking about first-time size buyer homes, not 2,500 to 7,000 McMansions, but the small things that, I don't know about you, but our first home was, I think, 625 square feet.
Well, listen, Tracy, I come from huge money.
I live in a
massive compound, and
excellent.
I earn $4.7 million
nice.
A year.
Well done.
Annette, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're on with Tracy Sweeney Shank.
Good morning, Tracy and Lauren and Ted. Good to speak to you, Tracy. When I hear Paul Evra speak, he does sound a little Trump-like to me, because he always going on about, like you say, woke culture, and we need to embrace our history. We're going to put the statues back up, and that's what Trump has plans to do, to put out those Confederate statues back up. So is that more important to Paul Evra than... you know, homelessness and lack of doctors and the state of our nursing homes. So I just, I definitely won't vote for him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the easy and attractive answer is to say yes, that's what's more important to him.
But I think, but the reality is, and again, I've spoken to so many politicians, you all want a better Canada. You all want, I think, what's something good for this country. It's just the road that politicians take to get there. Nobody, I and you may disagree with me, but I don't believe anybody wants people in Canada to suffer. I don't think any politician wants them to go poor, not be able to afford health care, anything like that. I just think a lot of this has to do, especially in this election, when you look at what the policies are so far from each leader, is very similar. So I think it's just the way they get there. And this really is going to be a question on who do Canadians trust to deal with the global economic issues, and especially what's coming up from the Cheeto.
Mm-hmm. Cheeto. So to your point, you're 100% right in that assessment. But up until the gloves were thrown down after Trudeau resigned, and we now have Prime Minister Carney as our you know, illustrious leader for the 9 days that he was in full control of the government, or at the top of that pyramid, we never heard policy from Poilievre. He suddenly has to become comfortable in his own skin on how he is going to propose to hit those goals that you're saying. You're right. Every politician should want what is better for the country. Every politician should be speaking to the country as it is now, that they want everybody to benefit from these things, and divisive politics don't get us there. But up until, 5 weeks ago, I found an old box of flashcards with three-letter words, and I thought, oh, I found his policy platform. Excellent. I'll bring that to the office so we can study it.
All right. Well, Tracy, this is the time in the program where we give you 90 seconds to tell us why yourself, Tracy Sweeney Shank, should be the Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyandinega. Go.
Okay, so why vote for me? Because Trump is back and his tariffs are already hitting home. They're driving up costs, threatening jobs, putting pressure on Canada's economy and on our independence on the world stage. This isn't just a big picture problem. It's affecting families, And it's affecting businesses right here in Hastings, Lennox and Addington, Tyend and Agat. See, nailed
there you
it.
Go.
There we go. As a certified financial planner, I've helped people through layoffs, through high interest rates, financial uncertainty. I know what it takes to steady the course and to protect what matters. And the writing deserves someone who shows up, understands and pressure and understands the pressures people are under and how to lead through them without backing down. We need a prime minister who's going to protect Canada's economy and stand firm when it counts. Mark Carney has taken on global markets and major powers before, and he's ready to stand up to Trump. And so that's the kind of leadership I believe in. My name's Tracy Sweeney Shank, and I'm your Liberal candidate. I'm ready to stand up for Canada strong. More importantly, I remember what Francis asked me, and I'd like to speak to that if I can.
Well, and you have 20 seconds
perfect.
To do it.
Stop taking it. It's with respect to Poiliev not actually getting his security clearance.
Right.
How the reason he's not getting it is because then he won't be able to talk about what it is that these matters are covering. How do you trust somebody like that to be the leader of the country if they want the right to talk about secrets?
Okay, as you can hear, the alarm has gone off, and that's an annoying sound. Imagine waking up to that. Okay, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. If somebody wants to find out more about yourself or your campaign, how do they do so?
There's a couple of ways. There's an elect.tracy with an EY .2025@gmail.com email on. By all means, send in your questions. There's a phone number on our campaign website for any calls that you might want to take, and I will answer your emails personally.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Again, the election is on Monday, April 28th. 800 CJBQ will have full election coverage with Jack Miller hosting, myself, Ross McDougall, and Mitch Hempel in studio. We'll have reporters throughout our community, and then we'll have post-election coverage on Tuesday the 29th, myself and Ross McDougall in studio with our winners. And I don't care who you vote for, just get out and vote.
Thanks.
It's
pleasure
so
meeting
important.
You.
Pleasure meeting you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, joining us on the program today. Big thanks to Scott Reed, political commentator on CTV, and, of course, Jill Raycroft, who is the CEO of the Belleville Chamber of Commerce. Tomorrow we talk about how the markets have reacted to the Trump effect of yesterday. It was Liberation Day for Trump, but was it for global markets? We'll speak to Ian Clark from CIBC Wood Gundy. Plus, The Quiet Room, Andy Forgey and Chris Chiesban. They're coming in. They're going to talk about their fundraiser for the Belleville Theatre Guild at Pinnacle Playhouse. That's tomorrow on the show. Thank you very much, Ted Bradford, as always, for your incredible work as our executive producer. News is coming up next at 11 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and thanks so much for coming out.